Hey everyone, welcome to Smash Trivia. I'm your host, Smash Trivia John. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram by searching Smash Trivia to follow everything happening with me. I'll be the one with a big old green head in the profile picture. So excited to get into this. This is the Gamma Analysis. Basically, in this series, I'm going to review everything Hulk, all the movies, TV shows, and I also do random other geeky films. Occasionally not so geeky ones too, and I also like to mix things up once in a while by not reviewing anything. Hope you enjoy Smash Trivia Presents The Gamma Analysis. I want to ask everyone listening, if they can please do sign for me, please share the hell of this podcast with all your friends. If you don't, Hulk will be angry. And Smash Trivia has a Patreon too, so please check that out. We have some fantastic extra content on there. I bet you'll have a Hulk smashing good time. The tiers are as follows: $1 a month is Hulkaholic for a dollar, $3 a month is The Reading Room with Hulky and Shulky, and $5 a month is Smashing the TV. I also now offer custom trivia games on Fiverr, so if you want to take your game night to the next level, you can hire me. A link to the Fiverr is in the episode description. Now that we have all that important stuff out of the way, let's smash right into this episode. Hello, my Gamma friends, and happy spooky season, everyone. Today, I'm joined by Whitney from the Going Merry podcast. How are you doing, Whitney?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. Today, we're going to be reviewing Night of the Demons.
What a movie.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun with this movie. There are definitely some very big issues with it, though. For Hulkaholic for a dollar, we have Derek Sager, Gabriel Floral, and Film Critter. Due to the Hollywood strikes, I'm trying not to review any struck work, actually, except for the ATP. And I believe this film isn't struck, since I don't believe it comes from any of those big companies. Sadly, the studios are being awful and not being willing to negotiate anymore.
Yeah, what a mess. It's like we keep getting little glimmers of hope, and then they're just dashed because we'll get a new new segments like, oh no, they just walked away, they wouldn't even counter offer.
Yeah,
like come on guys, you can afford to pay these people.
What I heard was before they left the negotiating table like last week or whatever it was, like the studio's offer that they tried giving was worse than the one they offered at the beginning of the strike.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's like they think that everyone else is stupid. Like, being rich makes you smarter than anyone else. Meanwhile, I saw something earlier that was like, the economy in California has lost tons of money because people aren't working. And, I mean, for good reason, but you know, some actors, I know there's a lot of rhetoric like, well, these actors are millionaires, they don't need to work. A lot of actors do need to work.
Oh yeah,
not everyone is a millionaire and they're just trying to survive.
Well I earlier today I was reading an article on Deadline that was a guest column piece from Fran Drescher,
Drescher,
the nanny. who is the lead negotiator, I believe, even she had said that that 87% of the members aren't able to make enough for their like $20,000 a year your healthcare plan. That really puts into perspective how this is not just this $1 million people who are striking. This is regular people who are not making much money.
Right. And I think that there's like a breakdown where people don't view that kind of work as like important or essential, or they don't understand why they're striking. And when you put it into context like that, like they're just trying to afford their health care. Because some of them are eligible for healthcare through their union because maybe they don't make enough money or whatever reason, but they're just trying to afford to go to the doctor, which is really sad to think that, I mean, just think about you, listener, if you've ever struggled to pay your insurance payment, or you couldn't afford insurance, or how hard it is to go see a doctor when you don't have money. Like, and these people, yeah, they're not like doctors and nurses providing life-saving care, but they also, like, how many people love to watch movies and TV? Everyone, almost everyone. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like people place importance on occupations in that way, and so they just don't care about this strike, which is kind of a shame to me.
I think it's I think like another part that I think is really sad is like a lot of people don't understand these are absolutely essential jobs because if we just cease to have movies and TV, there's a lot of people who would go deep into depression because of it, and that and I and the, just to get and so you would probably end up having sadly a lot more people dying in the world if there wasn't these wasn't people making entertainment trying to people trying to make people oh have a little bit of happiness and a little bit of escape from this this terrible world we live in.
Yeah, I just wish people would draw a line between like what they see as these like rich fat cat, CEO people, millionaire actors. It's so different. It's the CEOs are one thing, and the artists are different.
Oh yeah.
And in the economies that are suffering, like in California, think about all the places, even on the East Coast now, that film, like in Atlanta, big filming place. I'm sure that they've suffered quite a bit from that. And I mean, movies and TV employ more than just actors. They employ staff and crew and food caterers, and even people in the local towns can benefit from TV sets and movie sets because they put a lot of work into that. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that something comes about soon because it's really
Hopefully.
painting Disney and other companies in really bad light.
Yeah, like, and it's so crazy to me that they're not willing to try because like they're losing so much money from money from not being able to make films. Like I'm pretty sure like I'd read somewhere that like every month that on that a film is not able to film at a particular set. Like they're losing and like $100 million or something and from it. And it's like because they're because they have to keep renting out that set as long as they're not filming. It's like you would have you would be losing less money if you just agreed to the actor's demands.
Well, keep putting the pressure on them. Strikes are supposed to be inconvenient, so I feel like people forget that sometimes. Protests and strikes are supposed to be inconvenient. That's how you get people's attention. So, hoping for the best.
Hopefully. So let's get into this film that we're reviewing.
This masterpiece of art.
So when I say that I really enjoy this movie, I do not mean that I like the characters in this movie. These characters are awful.
Oh God, they're so bad. Everyone is so bad.
But what I really like about it is is like the vibe of the film of its film of it. It gives off the exact kind of spooky, campy 80s Halloween horror that I love.
Oh yeah.
And
Yeah, me
and I
too.
just really enjoy all of that. These characters are like I don't know if there was even a single character you really wanted to root for.
Yeah, I know. And it was strange because, like, I guess our central character is he Judy? Was that her name?
I think so.
The girl that's dressed like Alice in Wonderland. She was, I guess, meant to be our main protagonist, but even she really got on my nerves quite a bit. Like, she wasn't really a bad person. She just made some questionable decisions, and it's easy for us to say, like, when we're not in that situation, what we would do. But I'm like, girl, get off the floor, run, stop standing there and screaming, let's go. But everyone else in this town is an asshole.
Like it's Absolutely insane that because she would have sex with her boyfriend, he just locked her in a room.
Yeah,
Great.
terrible human.
Wait,
It took me
seriously.
a minute to realize that she was locked in. I thought she was just sitting there because she was like depressed and scared. And then when she was like, let me out, I'm like, that douchebag locked her up in a haunted house, like to go and sleep with some other girl. Yeah.
The one thing, like, very quickly quickly into the party that I was like, I got a little bit annoyed at that, it's the fact that act that everyone except for the girl that wore the black, who was trying to set up this the seance,
Yeah, the
like
witchy girl.
everyone was so like resistant to trying to be a part of anything, and it's like, you should just you're it's Halloween, you want your want spookiness, why don't you just let yourself get immersed in this experience?
Right. And there was no like real connection between why these people were all partying together. Because it seemed like everybody thought she was kind of a weirdo. And that it was going to be this crazy Halloween party, and it ended up only being like six or seven people. So I was at this weird like expectation the whole time, because when closer to the beginning, when the witchy girl and her friend that was in like the pink tutu were at the convenience store, and witchy girl stealing all the stuff while the pink tutu girl was like showing her butt cheeks to the cashiers to distract them. And they left, and she was like, we're gonna scare the hell out of them tonight. And I was like, are they playing a joke? Like, are they like, I thought maybe it wasn't gonna be
I was like,
real for a second, but that didn't happen.
yeah,
Like,
it's
everything was
weird.
really.
I really wonder what the joke they're planning on playing on them was. Was it that they're just going to have a lame party and that was gonna be the joke?
Yeah. I guess just be creepy. They're in a haunted
Like,
funeral home. It's creepy. I don't know.
I thought of, I saw I know related to that scene that I saw on IMDb that I found really funny. So apparently the actress who played the girl in the tutu, who was like she went to screenings of the film to watch it with fans, and like every time she would just get so embarrassed because the first our time I see her in the film is her bare ass.
Yeah, I can imagine. I wonder what that must be like for people who know that like their bare bodies have been on
Yeah,
screen and like their parents may see it or
it's
something, which I guess
so
some people don't care,
yeah.
but
It's so it also said on oh it also said on IMDb that she apparently had previously been a nude model, so I'm not sure why she had a problem, particularly this scenario. But then, there's a lot of trivia about the film involving her, and her body. They also mentioned in the trivia how, I think Steve Johnson, and I believe it's the person who did the like. Effects for the film, and they said in the trivia that he and her met when he created her prosthetic a breast for the as for the lipstick scene, and
That one makes me hurt.
they later got married.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
How nice.
I cannot imagine as it being a like visual effects or whatever her person working out movie, and the first time I meet someone is to do a side like that, and then getting married to them afterwards. That like you have to really hit it off in that
Yeah.
meeting for that to happen.
I guess you just like, you got to treat it like a job. It's the same as like when you're an actor and you have to do a sex scene with someone and it's awkward and weird, but sometimes romance blooms out of that. I don't know. I want to talk about the intro to this movie. It was insane and I loved it. I feel like this came out in 88, right?
Something like
Is that
that,
right?
yeah. It's right around then.
So like a year after I was born, and I've never seen this movie before, but the whole intro, which is quite long, I thought it was a
Yeah.
pretty long intro, and it was all animated, which I thought was interesting. But it had this really cool, like 80s new wave music, which I'm a huge fan of in general.
Nice.
I just thought it sounded so cool. But it almost reminded me a little bit of like Nightmare Before Christmas, like the scenes of Halloween Town, like the cemeteries and stuff, and the little flying demons. I just thought that was so cool looking. But the effects in this movie, like the prosthetics, I guess, like when the people were turning into demons, I thought it was pretty
Oh
good.
yeah. Yeah, those were pretty cool looking effects and like some pretty gruesome looking effects.
Like said lipstick boob.
Yeah,
Oh
well, that
my
was
goodness.
so weird. Like
Ooh.
how when I was watching, I was like, how does that work? It's
It
just
took
like
me a minute.
did they have on this prosthetic? Was it like a slit in it that they could and push the lipstick through or what? That was so weird.
Yeah, like a little cap. Like you lift it and
Like
put the lipstick in and then put it back down. Which I kind of assumed because it had shown that she had broken the mirror in the bathroom. And I thought when she was tracing her finger down her chest, I thought she was gonna like cut her boob off. And I was like, okay, you know, a demon would do something weird like that. But then I noticed it was lipstick and I was like, okay, well, she's just being weird because she was putting
yeah,
her
just
makeup
being
on.
weird.
And then
Yeah,
boop, there it goes, disappears.
and
Wow. What a time. Yeah.
not only that, but this demon apparently is very sensitive about how they look because
Yeah.
they were very angry that the guy was sorry was looking at her while they were having sex. Like, okay.
Okay, don't look at me. That's how I feel most days when I'm not wearing makeup. Don't look at me.
Oh man, what they
A lot of like weird body talk that I didn't expect in this movie. Like I know that
yeah
scary movies sometimes are you know, a little vulgar, which I don't mind. I watched a ton of scary movies, but the one that kind of caught me by surprise was the little brother.
yeah
The
I was like,
main character's little brother.
whoa.
He pops out of the closet and scares his sister. She's wearing a bra and maybe pants or underwear or something, I don't remember. And he's like, "Bodacious booby, sis." Like, what? Like, I don't have a brother, but
Okay.
I feel like that would make me really uncomfortable.
That kid mentioned her breast multiple times. So there was another scene where he does that. I'm like, why are you so obsessed with your own sister's breast? That's so weird.
I mean, you are like a pubescent boy, so I get your fascination with boobs, but like, and he also asks, maybe the boyfriend or the guy she's going out with, he's like, "Do you like her or do you just like her huge boobs or
Yeah,
something like that?"
that's what I was talking about the other scene. I'm like, what? Why are you so obsessed with those? I was
It's just
like,
boobs on the
dude.
brain. It reminds me of, have you seen Hocus Pocus, the original,
Yeah.
when the little sister is like, "Max likes your—" What does she call them? Wabos or something like that. But that's not her own sibling, you know? So
Yeah.
that's a little, and she's just like teasing her brother. It's not like, "Well, sis, nice boobs." Like,
Like, yeah.
so weird.
Yeah. Wow, that like not only was he being very weird about his sister, but also he was just such an asshole kid. Like he
Yeah.
I like, I'm pretty sure one scene he insulted his mom's food
Oh,
that
yeah,
she was
it did
making.
kind
I
of
was
look
like,
like
really?
dog turds, though.
And then and as the guy walked away from him, he called the guy the F slur, which was just like,
Did
wow.
he?
yeah
I missed that.
yeah as he
Oh, what a
as
bad kid. Shame.
like damn, that kid was just so bad. One thing that I really enjoyed So they at the start of the film we see this old man and the
No.
and you know at first I was I felt a little bad for him because these
Yeah.
guys were being these people were being jerks to him. Immediately we find out he puts razor blades in apples. No longer
Yeah.
feel bad for him. And then we don't
Yeah.
see him for the rest of the movie till the
The whole
very
movie.
end, a very end. And it was the absolutely perfect ending for the film of having him eat this apple pie that I
Yeah.
made from his razor blade apples.
So good. And I wonder, like, what life his wife had been living to where she was like, yes, this is what needs to happen. This is my perfect opportunity right now. And it kind of made me think of when me, you, and Keith reviewed Midsommar, because I was watching that scene. And when she just kind of checked on him and hugged him a little bit, I was like, good for her. Yeah, good for her. I'm okay with this.
I love how right afterwards she just whispers in his ear, "Happy Halloween."
Happy Halloween. Drink my
Oh
coffee. Oh,
man.
and I wonder, like, is that what would really happen if you ate a razor blade? Like, that seemed very forceful to me.
I
Like,
don't know.
I don't know.
I also so I've heard throughout my life in my childhood when at Halloween's like how your parents had to check your candy because there's a possibility of razor blades.
Yeah.
I honestly wonder how likely it is that someone actually would have something like that in the candy. I feel like it's not that likely.
Yeah, I've read that in the past, that that's just, it's one of those. I'm sure somebody's tried something stupid like that in the past, but very, very overblown. Kind of like, be careful, they're gonna give your kids drugs on Halloween. Listen, if you know people that are on drugs, they're not gonna give away their
Yeah. Oh
drugs
yeah.
to
No.
children or anyone. Drugs cost money.
I feel like most parents the actual reason that they go through all your candy is so that they can take a whole bunch of it for themselves.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen, I'm taking all those Reese cups. Don't even worry about it. You didn't get any Reese cups this year, honey. I don't know. I guess everybody wanted to give you Whoppers, the best candy.
When I was a kid, like after we went out on trick-or-treat, my dad would go and look through all the candy, and then we would get like maybe an eighth of the amount of candy back afterwards. I'm like, I really
Had
think
a
you're
secret
just like
stash.
he's yeah, I'm pretty sure he was just eating all the candy. This is a guy who always said that he hated chocolate,
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he had a had he really liked chocolate actually. He just didn't want people to know for some reason.
It was a guilty pleasure, maybe. But listen, that's how you teach your kids about taxes, right? Like, you give them the opportunity to go collect things and then you take some of it without their choice. Like, it's like, you learn in the hard way early. Teach them young. This girl, the witchy girl's friend with the bare butt and the boob lipstick, I'm not sure what her deal was. What a weird person. Even before she became possessed, which I think it's interesting, she was the first person to become possessed by this weird dragon looking thing in the basement. But the funniest thing, I wrote this down in my notes because I just wanted to remember it. I like to be warm. I like a good fireplace. But she's, dancing and everybody's staring at her. And she goes and sticks her ass up at the fireplace and says, just what the doctor ordered.
Oh,
That's my
God.
goal this winter when my fireplace is on. That's what you'll find me doing, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could tell early on though that Judy's a boyfriend how he was not gonna be a good guy just because of how he was immediately at the party he was looking at her.
Yeah.
Hey,
And it's
oh yeah.
weird because, like, is it Sal, the guy who like showed up at her door to take her out, and the little brother was like, I'm gonna call my mom.
That might have been it.
And Sal seemed like a total butthole. Like, he
Oh
was
yeah.
just the worst. But then at the party, He was one of the few of the ones I was like, he's okay. Like, he's decent. Him and Roger, I liked Roger after the car scene at the beginning when he was with the pig guy and the girl that the pig guy was like verbally abusing. Pig guy was the worst.
I did like Stooge
Yeah, Stooge.
Roger after that car scene he was so much better. I was pissed at him in that car scene because he used the R slur.
Yeah, I hate that
Like,
word. That
ah,
one immediately turned me off. I was like,
oh,
ugh.
great. Oh,
Which
great.
I'm not trying to excuse
Yeah.
it. The 80s, I understand. But it's kind of surprising how recent people have just started to speak up over that. Like, I've always said that that word is so, like, just don't use it. It's not nice. It's not accepted anymore. But even just going back and watching like early 2000s movies sometimes, I'm like, whoa, what were we doing? You know?
It's a weird thing for me is I like anything that is old, I absolutely have a problem hearing it in. But then, and I think a lot of like newer things, if they're in it, I don't have as much of a problem because I feel like, because I get the feel that it is supposed to be the character and it's not just the, how they talked, how
There's
people
usually a
talked in real
reason
life.
for it,
Yeah,
right?
it's
It's not
not
just supposed to
like,
be funny,
yeah,
like a
like,
joke.
I recently watched this animated web series, I don't know, what was it called? I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically about these demons in hell that they get to kill people on Earth by mercenary contract. Like if someone screwed over you and you end up dying because of it, you could go to them and pay them to kill the person who screwed you over. And
Huh.
these characters and the main character in that he says the R slur in that, and I didn't have a problem with it in that because I know this is a demon. This isn't just how normal people are supposed to be. This is
Right.
so it I feel like it's different now when you hear it in films versus if you watch signs that's older and it's in, and because with anything that's older it just feels like this is just how people talked back then and they think this is okay. It's like versus
Right.
now it is particularly this is a bad guy that we're watching, and this is part of how you know it's a bad guy.
Yeah, it's like part of their character development. Yeah, I can, and I feel like for the most part, we're smarter now and more compassionate. I know it doesn't seem like it when we watch the news and we read Twitter or whatever, but I feel like Hollywood at least is a bit more tolerant and yeah, clever about those kind of things. Speaking of things that I wasn't a huge fan of as far as culturally, I hated that they used indigenous culture to kind of explain that the house was weird even before the house was built, like that the land was you know, it's kind of like that trope, like poltergeist, like this was an Indian burial ground, is what they said. I don't like to use, I mean, it's native or indigenous, but and they even used this like generic native sounding music during that scene, and I kind of just cringed a little bit. Like,
I
did
can
we
see
have to
that.
throw that in there? Like, could we just be like, yeah, the funeral director was a weird guy and he was a necrophiliac, and that's why there's demons? That could have been just fine, I feel like. That would have been an okay trans or an okay explanation for me. But, you know, that's a lot of people like to do that. They like to use ancient
Sadly.
history to explain creepy things. So.
Sadly. Real quick, going back to Roger, one thing that I really liked that they did is they did not fall into the trope of the black guy dies first.
Yeah, fair.
Because that's because I'm pretty sure that is like a trope in a lot of horror films.
Yeah, that's very true, especially for a movie that took place in the 80s. And they didn't even really make a big deal about him being black, even though he was the only person of color in the friend group. I mean, it was just, and which is how it should be, right? I mean, it shouldn't even be brought up. Or I think the only thing they said when he got scared, they were like, ha ha, you're white as a ghost, which it was a very quick little, reference, but I didn't really take that as them being racist. I think they were just joking with him and making fun of him for being scared. But yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Or that, like, what was it? Did you ever see Deep Blue Sea, the one about the sharks?
I don't think I've seen that now.
They basically like genetically engineer sharks to treat like Alzheimer's from some kind of chemical in their brain, and the sharks of course get too smart and of course attack, right? But there's LL Cool J is in that movie, and I'm gonna spoil it a little bit, but he survives. And so they were like, he was like one of the first black people in a like thriller horror movie to survive to the end. So I think you're right. I like that they, didn't use his color of skin for that. So
One thing I found very interesting and all strange. Yeah, you mentioned how the girl in the tutu, she was the first person, Earth person who got odd possessed. It's interesting to me how they didn't have they didn't then have her be the leader of the possessed people. They went it kind of felt like the leader of the possessed people was the girl in the black and which makes me think, why didn't they just have her be the first one unpossessed?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Because it seemed like the transfer, I guess they kissed, I think is how
I think
the
it's
witch
I
girl.
think it's just supposed to be kind of like any physical contact can cause you to you become possessed, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Because there was, see, I'm trying to think of what the other ones were. Because I don't know that it really showed it for some of them. Like the guy, the boyfriend who got his eyes poked out. I don't know. I mean, I guess they were kissing at some point, but I don't know that it happened then.
The main reason I say I don't think it was particularly kissing because is because the two people who were having sex in the coffin they got transformed into possessed people and they definitely did not kiss the kiss a on who had been possessed. They just had their they just one of them just had their neck turned around and the other had his arm crushed by
Oh yeah.
the coffin.
And just thinking of the mechanics of that too, I'm like, how hard would you have to do that with a coffin? Because they're not particularly sharp, but they are heavy. So that just sounds like the one of the most painful
Oh,
things
I
that you can
bet.
experience.
I bet.
It was funny when they ran into the room and you saw those two rise up from the coffin as demons, and they put on the most spectacular acting you've ever seen in your life. It was almost like if you go to an amusement park or something and you see people pretending to be zombies, they just kind of stare and go, And it cracked me up. I was like, well, they don't even look scary. They look normal still. They didn't have the creepy makeup that everybody else had.
One thing that I was very surprised by how good it looked is when we saw the guy's severed arm grab someone someone like for the 80s that looked really good.
It did look really good. And she kicked it away and it just kind of flopped around. So, I mean, I think a lot of time and care was taken into making that arm.
Even though there is so many problems with this film, I kind of want to go and watch the sequels that exist for it. Because of that the spooky vibe that I really enjoyed in it.
Yeah, I saw that there was a number two. Do you know how many there are?
I'm not sure. I think there's more than two at least. Let me see.
I might do that as well. I really liked when the demon was first coming out of, was he in the oven or the oven that they climb in at the end? He comes out of this like door thing in the basement, but you
Yeah.
see it from his point of view that he's like traveling all around the house. And I thought that was a really good shot.
Oh
And
yeah.
really clever to
This
do because it ends up with the girl, the boob lipstick girl. And I thought that was a really neat way to do that, to kind of save from having to show the actual demon traveling through the house. And it was kind of creepier, I
Oh
think, in
yeah.
that way.
So there is a trilogy of them, the original, and then there's a reboot that came out in 2009.
Oh, I was gonna say this would be a good remake movie, as long as it's not like super CGI'd, you know. We'll have to find the one.
Until they actually like later in the film made a point to say it was a cremation oven, I was really thinking it was like just like a portal to hell or sign that was in the basement,
That would have been kind of cool. Yeah.
which like I actually have like a theory of maybe like what happened before all of this that actually made the had the demons coming. Yeah, so I'm thinking it might have been in sort of both all like but it was sort of like maybe sort of thing. I mean, like the caretaker here maybe had a deal with the demons in hell, and he would sacrifice people in the cremation thing, and their souls instantly get sent to hell. And
Nice.
and maybe he stopped opt getting giving them souls, and so they and since they can only come out on Halloween for a while, he might have thought he was fine till finally on Halloween they came out and killed him and his family.
Yeah, maybe so. Because they mentioned that, like, he killed them all and then killed himself, right? Was that the story? So
I
that could have
think
been like
possibly.
demonic possession, you know? Oh, he went crazy. Well, actually, he was possessed. Yeah, that's a pretty good theory. Maybe they'll build on that in the sequels. We need to watch those. And maybe it does turn out to be a portal to hell.
Because like I was very much wondering like I throughout the film, why is it that that's where the demon came from, unless it was saying it's supposed to be something actually connected to hell.
Right. And it was, I've never heard that saying before that demons couldn't cross running water.
Yeah, no, I haven't either.
But I think it was neat that it was kind of good storytelling, and that part of the writing was good that they mentioned that very early on, because when they mentioned it, I was like, that's going to be important later. And it was. I
Well,
think it was
I don't
interesting
know if
that.
they actually explained what happened to the gate of how it disappeared.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. It was so weird that the gate disappeared. Like, how are they able to do that? Like, if that's where the running water is, how can they affect that at all? That was weird. But there had to be a way they couldn't escape, right? Because Roger was like out of there very early, him and the other girl that I didn't know. But they could have made it out easily if the gate had not disappeared. Another thing that came back was the lighter. Did you notice that?
I did not notice it come back. Well, where how
So
did it come back?
the main character, I want to say Judy, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it was Judy. She was like at the food table, I think, and she left a lighter laying, and the witchy girl that was throwing the party was like, "You better not leave that lighter laying there. The ghosts won't like it if you junk up their house." And she picks it back up, I think. And then there at the end is when she uses the lighter to like flamethrow the demons, which I was like, is that even gonna work? Because they're demons. I mean, wouldn't they be used to fire?
But also, why was the gas still on at this place?
That's a good
They've been,
question.
if it's been
Thank
closed
goodness she
down
knew.
for many years, I would think that the gas would have been turned off.
You would think so. And I mean, I'm glad she knew how to work everything. She's like, get the valve. And I'm like, I would not have known what to do in this situation. But she knew exactly what they needed to do. But I mean, I guess it was a good like time. Like it gave him a little bit more time to get away, but it didn't really work. Because fire doesn't really affect them. But we kind of knew that already because the witchy girl had stuck her hands in the fire.
Oh,
And blistered them up really weird. So I don't know. I guess the only thing that could destroy them is just sunrise, the end of Halloween.
When Judy falls from the back of the balcony near the end of the film, was it just me? It's just me. But it definitely looked like in the actual shot while she was flying, like she was gonna hit a railing.
Oh, yeah. It didn't look like she was going to make it at all.
Yeah, I was like, it looked like the angle that she was on, she was definitely gonna hit a railing versus like when she landed, the railing was just to the side of her and it was at a completely different angle.
She landed perfectly on Roger, and it didn't seem like it was from that high up either, because it was just a
Oh,
little tumble.
yeah.
And I was
No.
like, that probably would have broken some of your bones, girl. But it didn't. She was okay. Climbing, I guess it was it barbed wire that they were holding on to.
I was thinking it was like supposed to be the stuff that had grown on there that oh
Like
no that got
horns.
was spicy Ikey, yeah.
Well, either way, that one kind of got me a little bit because I was just trying to imagine. I couldn't pull myself up there
Oh no.
regardless, but having to pull myself up on spikes going into my hands at the same time.
Yeah, that
Yikes.
would be painful.
Yikes. Back to when I think they were outside at the time, and I can't remember who said it. It may have been the witchy girl was kind of like taunting her about dying and not escaping. And it showed Sal, who had landed, I guess, with like a spike in his chest or something. And it showed his gravestone. Did you
I
read what
love
it
that. Yeah,
said?
died
Sal
tonight. I
died
love
tonight.
that. Was hilarious.
Like I wonder if that stays there so that like on November 1st, if somebody goes in there and looks around, they see that and it's like, tonight? Which tonight?
Yeah,
I just love campy stuff like that though, you know?
when they when they had told the all the demons to go to hell, and the demon's response was no, not tonight.
No, not tonight.
I loved how they said that. It was like they're trying to be like, no, we don't wanna not tonight.
Yeah, it's very like Captain America. No, I don't think I will. I don't think so. Yeah, that was good. I love this era of horror movies, that were just they're so silly, but so funny at the same time, like actually funny, and they mean to be.
These are films that I'm never gonna get scared by these, but but I enjoy watching them because they're just so ridiculous. And like when I'm watching them, I want everyone to die just because I want the cool kills.
Well, and it seems like too that in this time period, it seems like in most horror movies, most of the people kind of suck, except for like your main antagonist or your main protagonist. And I think that's what they tried to do with Judy here, but I don't know. Like she was fine. She was a good person. She didn't do anything wrong, but I don't know. I didn't feel for her like I feel like I should have.
Yeah, she also, I don't think she had a terribly like unique personality at all, but also which I feel like that probably kind of doesn't help with the feelings of like you're not sure how to feel about her.
Yeah, and I feel like they kind of tried it a little bit. Like they were trying to build her up as a very good person that maybe they wanted as kind of like a conquest for the demons. Like, well, we want the good girl, the one who does all the right things, because she's like I'm not doing this with you, Jay. And she was helping for the homeless or a soup kitchen or something. But it was just very, very tiny little tidbits where it could have been just a tiny bit more to help establish that. But like for what it was fine. I actually was more rooting for Roger and Sal towards the end because even though Sal seemed like kind of a jerk at the beginning, which I'm sure he was kind of the only one that was like, these people are weird. I'm getting out of here. And Roger actually did get out of there as far as he could go. So I like the level-headed people in a horror movie. You know, I always root for them.
I thought it was funny when the dudes tried to get Roger to be on their side by telling him, "Oh, we don't want a good little boy like you. We just want the girl."
Yeah. And it was like, sure you do. Because they also said, like, we have plans for you, right? For him.
The only thing I can think about that, oh, what they might have meant with that is like maybe they needed somehow the fact that he's a priest's son.
Oh,
Because
yeah.
he
His
said he
dad
was a
was.
priest. Yeah, he said. So I'm wondering if somehow they needed like maybe a there's something special maybe about his blood or something or just like so I'm that's all I could think of why they might be particularly wanting him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot that he said his dad. He was like, "We don't mess around with this stuff, guys." Like, I think this is a bad idea. Yeah. Good on you, Roger.
So is there anything else you want to talk about with film, or is it about all?
I
I
mean,
think
that's
it's
about it. I'm
I think
definitely it piqued my interest to watch the next one though. Because it's got to be fun.
I bet at the oh I wouldn't be surprised just like with most horror sequels. I wouldn't be surprised if as if the ratings are lower
Oh,
on
yeah.
it.
I didn't even think to look that up. Do you know what its rating is?
I'm pretty sure this one has like a 6.5 or something out of 10 on
Oh,
IMDb, but
wow.
I'm not sure about the sequels.
Actually, 6.5 on IMDb isn't
Oh yeah,
terrible.
no, it's not bad. Bad. Let's see the so. The second one is 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb, and the third one has 4.5 out of 10 on IMDb,
Oh no.
and
It
then
looks like the original has a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And then the reboot has a 4.6 out of 10 on
Oh
IMDb.
no. So it's worse? Or maybe just more people have seen it because it's
Possibly.
more recent. You know, and I'm looking at these movie posters of 1, 2, and 3 from back in the day. I remember seeing these on the shelf at the video rental store that we used to have when I was a kid. We didn't have what was the other one? The Blockbuster?
Yeah,
Was that the big one?
Blockbuster.
We didn't
Blockbuster
have
is a big
that.
one.
Yeah, we didn't have that in my small town, but we had one. And I remember walking through the horror section and feeling like, ooh, creepy, because I was little. But I remember seeing, especially the second one, because there's like a picture of it looks like the creepy girl or the witchy girl from the first one. And she's like eating a sucker, but it's a skull instead of a sucker. And I very vividly remember that picture from childhood. That's
Nice.
crazy.
I also I miss honestly video stores because there was something, there was just a special feeling going to video stores instead of like it makes watching movies now so boring that we have them at just at our fingertips now.
Yeah, it's almost limitless and so immediate. There was something exciting about, like, do you want to go rent a movie on Friday night? You know? Yeah, I
Like
agree.
I feel like, well, it used to be like it's a big family thing having a movie night. Now it's just, do you want to put on a movie?
And then, like, I know my husband and I end up looking at our phones half the time anyway, unless we're watching something really important.
I've honestly noticed that for me the best way to be able I can watch something and actually be able to pay attention to it is if I'm is if I watch it on my phone, because I'm because then I'm because then I'm both having I'm both doing something with my hands by holding the phone, and I'm watching a movie, and I'm not distracted by something else.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
I need to start doing that. But one thing, there's kind of a workaround because sometimes I'll like watch a YouTube video and you can make it smaller on your phone screen and then do something else in the meantime. So I'd have to stop myself from doing that. It's almost like my attention over time has gotten more erratic for some reason.
Yeah, not surprised, but after that, I have a lot of trouble with the attention when I'm watching stuff. So I tried every night. I go to the living room and watch some stuff with my mom, just to be nice to her. But like I can't pay attention to anything that I'm watching when I'm doing that, because I'm like, because I have to get on my phone.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like a reflex now. These kids these days.
Well, before we end this off, do you want me to say something in an announcer voice?
Oh, man. Hold on. I had a really good quote earlier that I forgot about. Yes, I do. Do you want me to put it in the chat?
Yes, please.
That's what I'm going to do. All right. Can I preface this by who said it?
Okay.
So this was like when the guy and girl who were together, the ones that got their like neck snapped and their arm chopped off when they were finding a place to be alone.
I never made it in a coffin before.
A weird way to say that.
Yeah.
I never made it in a coffin before. Made
Oh,
it?
that reminds me of earlier the film of how the one guy gets annoyed that he got scared scared by Sal in the coffin, and then
Yeah.
often, and then Judy is just like, "You were about to do the
Yeah, she's right.
thing." I love that.
These guys are just toxic guys, a
Oh
lot of them.
yeah,
Ugh.
they are. Oh man.
I couldn't understand why that one girl was hanging out with, was it Stooge? The pig mask
Yeah,
guy.
Stooge.
I couldn't understand why she hung out with him. He was so mean to her. Like, he called her a stupid bitch two or three times,
Yeah,
made
like they
fun of
were,
her.
like I, particularly like the during the times that they were driving together, it was like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, he was just a really bad person.
Oh yeah.
Really bad person.
Oh man. Hey, I'm interested, like when he went to go go follow the girl to the bathroom, the like after she lo closed the door, he went to go look at something and got scared by it. Was it her in the mirror when she was looking in the mirror saying because
It looked
or
like a hole in the wall, kind of, but there were like these weird strips of fabric hanging, and it almost looked like something reached out from
Oh,
behind it, but
okay.
they never really
Yeah,
followed
because he acted normal after getting scared by that.
Yeah.
So it was weird.
That was weird. I forgot about that. And maybe he just kind of explained it away in his head, like, well, the wind, this place is falling apart anyway. Old houses tend to be creepy anyway, to
Yeah.
avoid.
And I bet it would be even more creepy being in an old abandoned funeral parlor.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I would never go to a party at an old abandoned house, first of all. And it's not
Oh
because I would be scared of ghosts or whatever, but like, those floors are probably rotted through. It's falling apart. Like, you're gonna fall through the floor and break your legs. No, there's like asbestos coming out of the walls, lead paint.
oh
I
yeah,
don't
like
know. That's not where I want to be.
I get creeped out just being in a funeral parlor when it is open. I definitely don't want to be at a funeral parlor that's closed.
Yeah, where the guy was like messing with the bodies and killed his own family. No,
Yeah.
thanks. I'm
Oh.
good. Even like real haunted houses. Not real, but like the ones that actors work at. I went to one last year and it was so scary. And I love scary stuff. And like you get this crazy feeling after you're done where your adrenaline is just like you just feel like you ran a marathon. Not that I know what that feels like, but it's exhilarating for people who do like that kind of stuff like me. But I even like watching so much scary stuff and listening to true crime stuff, I get kind of paranoid even at those because I'm like, what if a real serial killer is hiding here and he's using it as a disguise to work in a haunted house to really kill people, you know? And I kind of have to push that out of my
Dude,
mind.
that would make for a great horror film. He's
I
in
feel
a
like that would be in
fake
a horror film.
haunted house.
Yeah. I feel like, isn't like Hell House LLC, isn't that kind of, but I feel like that was more supernatural. That's like a real big indie something. I don't know, but you know that that's come across people's minds, right?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Oh yeah. I've never gotten to go to a haunted house before. I want to try one of those at some point because I feel like that would be so fun.
Yeah, I curse a lot when I'm scared, which I curse a lot in general, but especially when I'm scared. And I remember this one guy was dressed kind of like a skeleton dude, and I said something not nice to him, I guess. And he just kind of looked at me and shook his head and said, "You need to go to church." I was like, "I'm sorry." And I would, they would scare me once, and then I would just say, "Okay, you got me. Okay." And then I'd just keep my eyes on them because they would keep coming at you. Like they'd let you calm down and then they come right back. But as long as you don't swing on them, you're good. Yeah. Don't hurt the actors.
Yeah. I was talking about my mom the other week about that because I was like, never gotten a ghost sign like that before, or and she told me about I'm pretty sure she was saying that when she was younger she had gone to one and she actually did accidentally hit one of them because of how scared
Yeah.
she was. It was like,
Yeah.
oh my God.
I can commiserate because I did that to my husband one time. He jumped out and scared me and I socked him in the stomach. And it was not because I was mad at him. It was because it was an automatic reflex, you know? I kind of like hunched myself up, closed in my body during the haunted house to keep myself from doing something like that and used my words instead. I was very verbally abusive, which is not great, but better than assault.
Well, is there any final thing you'd like to say before I end this off?
No, I'm glad it's spooky season. I love watching spooky things all year round, but especially now. I don't know. I really enjoy watching stuff like this because it's hard to find a scary movie that I haven't seen. So I'm glad that you suggested this one because it was something I never heard of, and it was a fun watch. It was an interesting watch and a fun watch.
Yeah, I wanted to have at least one of the spooky things I did this month be something that's in this kind of campy 80s Halloween horror sort of thing. And I'm really glad that I chose this one because this worked out really well for that.
Yeah, love a camp.
But yeah, I honestly think if you want to find stuff that you haven't ever seen before or heard about, particularly look for just like look on look for or these horror things on Google, but particularly like say indie and then and because like I found so many things I haven't ever seen before because or that a lot of them I'm reviewing this month on. Just because I was looking for indie stuff because I'm not trying to do anything from any of the big companies, so I'm so that really helped to find lots of stuff that I've never seen before.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to do that because I'm running out of stuff, running out.
And there's definitely like some gems in there to and watch like this. I'm really excited for next week's episode, which I'm pretty sure actually will be coming out on Halloween, and I'll be doing the Bloodsucking Bastards as vampire or copies I are Pedro Pascal.
Oh,
I
I
feel like
love
that's
that
gonna be a lot
man.
of fun. Oh my
Absolutely.
God.
Wait, so he's in that?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. I'm gonna have to watch that.
Yeah,
I'll watch anything with him in it.
it is a vampire horror comedy that's like set in a workplace. It's, and I'm pretty sure Pedro Pascal plays the boss who has become a vampire.
Nice.
I'm
You've given me
excited.
something to watch tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'll check out the Going Merry podcast. Ask for more of Whitney. She's always a lot of fun to have as a guest. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah. So thank you everyone for listening. If you like this scam analysis, please give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or a 5-star rating on Spotify. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so please let me know. And if you'd like to listen to more from me, please subscribe. Many more scam analysis from me coming, so keep on the lookout. This again is your host, Smash Ray John, signing off.